Your girlfriend will hate Bird Dog's khaki shorts. She'll say the llamas on their website look like a preschooler's birthday party invite, not an apparel company. She'll say the sexual innuendos in their newsletters are meant for 7th graders, not grown men like you. She might even tell you that naming one of the products, quote, Fistover Columbus, is borderline offensive. But as soon as you feel their soft inner liner and see how great their stretch material makes you look, you'll never want to take them off. Go to birddogs.com/radio to find out for yourself. They'll even throw in a free tumbler. That's birddogs.com/radio.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at WesleyFinancialGroup.com. Hickey, I actually have a question for you.
Wow, right, roles reversed. Let's hear it.
So Micah Parsons tweeted yesterday, when a fan said to him, surprised that you haven't complained about the price of Netflix yet, he said, my mom still pays for my phone bill and Netflix. Save what you can. Hashtag mama's boy. Onside, offside. Micah Parsons is in the wrong for having his mother pay for his phone bill and Netflix.
I mean, I gotta say onsides. He's making too much money. Now, I'm still my parents' phone bill, to be clear, so I don't want to be a hypocrite here, but I'm also not making $2 million a year. It's one of those where I think you don't ask about it, and maybe it's tough to remember that, oh, yeah, my phone bill is taken care of, but Netflix, at least, it's what, $6 a month? Come on.
I think it's like 10 or 12.
But whatever.
The reason I brought this up is because this is very personal, and I stand with Micah Parsons. So this weekend, I visited my parents, you know, being a good son, go out to Long Island, say hello to the folks. And my dad goes to me, it's time to get off my phone bill. And I said to him, Dad, previous precedent with my sister, I'm grandfathered in until I'm 30. And currently I'm 28 and I don't turn August until 29. So you're still stuck with me for another year, old man. Now, I could afford my phone bill, but my dad wants me off of it. And my mom's like, no. Keep him on the phone bill. So I'm on team Micah Parsons here. But I will say with Netflix, I've had a problem with Netflix now. So I've had a bunch of roommates throughout the years living in New York City. And I have a smart TV. And there's so many different accounts on that TV where people are logged in and you share a Netflix, HBO, all these Apple TV that I've paid for all over the place. Well, with the recent crackdown by Netflix on account sharing, I couldn't get into my Netflix, well, which was a friend's Netflix, in order to go watch the quarterback documentary with Patrick Mahomes, Kirk Cousins, and Marcus Mariota. So while I was home this weekend, I figured I would mooch off my parents' Netflix. I go to log into their Netflix. They were mooching off someone else's Netflix. And they have not bought their own Netflix account. So I couldn't even watch the quarterback documentary. So I think this week at some point, whenever I'm starting to crave for a little Netflix, whether that's Tuesday, Wednesday, could be tonight, could be Thursday, could be Friday, I think I'm going to put the power in my own hands and hand over my credit card to Netflix. Just don't buy an iPhone like someone else did and con me a few weeks ago where they stole my credit card. And I'm going to go get my own Netflix account because I want to watch this quarterback documentary. Have you watched the quarterback documentary yet?
I am halfway through.
Now, don't reveal too much. I know there's a lot out there on social media.
Well, I mean, also, you know what happened in the season.
Sure, but you never know how it's portrayed. Do you hate it, tolerate it, or love it?
So far, love it. I think it's great. This will definitely replace Hard Knocks, without a doubt. It's only a matter of time.
Oh, because it comes out in the offseason.
And it's willing
participants because they get paid.
I'm going to assume here, and I know it's a dangerous game, but the last few seasons of Hard Knocks have not been entertaining. I've had no thought, it's 8 episodes, I believe, of the quarterback documentary. Pretty good in time investment. I'm basically 4.5 episodes in. I've had no thoughts of turning it off, watching something else, getting bored by it. The three quarterbacks, are allowing you in and giving you the access, so they care about it.
And they're getting paid.
And you get better access, and you get better just overall emotion than you would for, you know, for in this case, the Jets, where they feel like they're being, you know,
shoved down their throat, as Aaron Rodgers would say.
Force against their will.
So let me just ask you this. Mahomes, I've seen clips. He's been really good. What about Kirk Cousins and Marcus Mariota?
Kirk has been my favorite, honestly, out of the three.
Wow.
He's been my favorite. Now, Mariota's
and
tough.
And you can't stand Kirk Cousins usually.
Well.
You've been very critical of him.
He is who he is. Good regular season guy. Puts up good box scores. But when you need a big game, can't deliver. I really enjoy Kirk Cousins. Mariota have not gotten to the point where he quit the team. That's the only reason that's worth watching for him, exactly.
So he's been boring?
No, but I mean, it's interesting. But, I mean, again, it's the Falcons. They weren't great. He wasn't great.
Did they cover any of the Jackson Mahomes stuff yet?
No. That was also most of the offseason, right, I believe, with Jackson. So I'm not sure if the cameras were done filming by that point. But I know definitely the charges recently were, like, after the season, I believe, in, like, February or March.
Has he made an appearance yet, though, on this documentary?
He has been in the background of a few shots. But in terms of, like, one-on-one interviews, it's been Patrick and Brittany.
Gotcha.
His wife.
And how do you perceive so far Brittany? Because I remember we were hanging out with Carrington Harrison, and a lot of people say that Brittany Mahomes is annoying, but people in Kansas City start to defend Brittany Mahomes because they know if people turn on Brittany, then maybe eventually Patrick Mahomes will turn on the Kansas City Chiefs.
I will say so far, everything perception-wise, I would say has been accurate.
So that means she's been annoying.
They show a few shots of her in the luxury box during
screaming
games.
Screaming. Yeah!
And let's just say, even if it was my brother, I don't have one. If I had imaginary brothers on the Chiefs and he was like Travis Kelce, I ain't sitting in the luxury box. That's for damn sure. I will pay my own way.
Because how obnoxious she is.
Yes, because how loud and the shrieking and the yelling and the almost feels like, this is what I'll say. It almost feels like she knows she's on camera and then shows she really elevates maybe the drama or the yelling because she knows she's being watched, which to me makes it even worse. So again, I would pay for my own ticket and sit in the cold at Arrowhead Stadium in January compared to sitting in the luxury box with Mrs. Mahomes.
So if this is going to replace Hard Knocks, let's just say, and we had to pick the next three quarterbacks, and we have to go by this formula because of previous precedent of the only one where it's a great quarterback and then a good quarterback and then a guy that stinks in Marcus Mariota, who would be your great quarterback that you would pick if you take Mahomes out of it?
Oh, it's got to be, I'm assuming he's playing next year, Aaron Rodgers, without a doubt. Entertaining, zany. If he's into it, which, I mean, judged by Hard Knocks, he would not be into it. But let's just say in this pretend world he's into it, I am all in on Aaron Rodgers.
I would agree on that one, especially when you're following all the ayahuasca and all of his ayahuasca trips that he does and all that stuff. That would be fun. Who would be your good but not great quarterback?
I'll go with something we just talked about. I'll go with Dak Prescott. I am interested in kind of him off the field. I think he's a really nice guy. And I think he does put in a lot of work, so I'm interested to see that, kind of like Kirk.
I'll give you two here, if it's not Dak. I would be fascinated this year by two guys. Tua Tagovailoa.
Good one.
And then also Geno Smith, who could be a character, Geno Smith. If you go back to the way that we used to previously view him, getting punched in the face by a teammate and then forgetting what time zone he was in.
And for Tua, I mean, we got it. The first episode has to be him at judo lessons.
Yeah, jiu-jitsu, yeah.
Getting thrown on the ground and learning how to fall. If that's not the first episode, fire the producer.
And then give a quarterback that stinks.
I'll go Baker Mayfield. He's got swag. He seems like a character.
I thought that was your top five quarterback in the NFC last year.
Well, that was last year. New year. New year, new rankings. I'll go Baker Mayfield, especially if he's on chip on his shoulder. If he has a decent season this year, maybe now thinks he's back. I'm in on that.
What about Andy Dalton, right? He doesn't qualify according to Miles Sanders. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback. Did you see that quote by Miles Sanders?
I did.
Ugh. Woofa.
That's a good teammate right there.
My bad quarterback here. Who's interesting that is
How about Carson Wentz?
No.
Would you want to follow his light? Well, have a lot of time this season.
No.
See him going hunting ducks?
As Randy Jackson would say, that's a no for me, dog. Man, there's the pool for bad quarterbacks here. Not really all that intriguing.
Like obviously, not
I don't
a
throw
rookie,
Jimmy
right?
G in there, but
like we're not going to say like Stroud or Young just because they haven't played yet.
No,
so like they're not in this box. Sam Howell, does he count? I'm trying to think here.
Yeah, you know what? I'd probably have to agree with you on yours. It's a good list. Good job by you. Nice job.
Thank you. I'll take it.
All righty, so get to the questions, Joe.
My turn to ask you the questions. Earlier today, three running backs, I should say, on the franchise tag. Today was the deadline to get a long-term extension done. Spoiler alert, in case you missed it, zero got an extension. Saquon Barkley of the Giants, Josh Jacobs of the Raiders, Tony Pollard of the Cowboys, all will play now on one-year deals in 2023. And it's not like these running backs are scrubs either. Last year, Jacobs led the league with 1,653 rushing yards. Barkley was fourth with just over 1,300 yards. Onsides or offsides, both the Raiders and Giants made mistakes in not extending their running backs.
So for the Giants, I think they should have, because you just paid Daniel Jones, and that's your best offensive weapon in Saquon Barkley. I would just find a way to get an okay guaranteed number, and then you could front load that deal. And for Josh Jacobs, I know that it's weird because he didn't have a first-team All-Pro season until his final year. I know he's made two Pro Bowls, but last year was his really only great year. And he led the league in rushing yards. I just don't think the Raiders ever intended for him to be in the roster after this year, because they didn't even extend him the fifth-year option a year ago. And you know Josh McDaniels likes to rotate through running backs, but you just got rid of Darren Waller. So I would use that money to keep Josh Jacobs so you could also eventually keep Davante Adams, who may eventually want out, when you're looking for a new quarterback. Because does anyone actually think that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to make it through all 3 years with the Raiders, or even if you're bringing in a younger quarterback via the draft? So if I was running those teams, I would have paid Saquon, and I would have paid Josh Jacobs. I was surprised the Giant deal didn't get done, but I wasn't surprised that the Raiders deal didn't get done. But if you ask me, both the Raiders and Giants are making mistakes not extending their running backs, yeah, I would go on sides on this one.
Let's focus on Barkley, because now that we know he's not getting a long-term deal, the focus shifts to his participation in training camp. Adam Schefter is reporting that the running back isn't expected to report to training camp when it starts, I believe, late next week, and could have set out possibly the entirety of preseason training. Now, Barkley will not be fined for missing these workouts since he has not signed his franchise tender, which means technically right now he is not under contract.
And let me just be clear here, just to clarify something. Barkley, like Hickey said, has not signed his franchise tag yet, so there's no contract. The same for Josh Jacobs. Tony Pollard, this was back in March, did actually sign that franchise tag. So if Pollard's going to miss, he's going to get fined. These other two guys can't get fined because they haven't signed the deal yet.
That is right. Onsides or offsides, Saquon Barkley will not play week one.
And this is not because of some injury that he suffered. This is just because of the principle on the tag.
Because he's sitting out.
Yeah, that's offside. I know a lot of guys threaten this, and maybe because of how much outrage there is in social media right now from current running backs, maybe one guy will do that. I think it's more likely to be Josh Jacobs than Saquon. I think Saquon, as you've said, right, will miss a big portion of training camp, if not all of it, and then wait until the end to sign that tag. But I do think he'll be there for week one for the New York Giants. So you ask me, Saquon Barkley will not play week one. I'll go offside.
Offside.
All right. Before this on Sunday, DeAndre Hopkins has finally made his decision on where he will play football in 2023, opting yesterday to make official he's signing with the Tennessee Titans. The deal is a two-year deal. Could be worth up to $32 million total with incentives. Now, going back in his long summer, I guess, away trying to decide which teams he wanted, he did take two visits, one with Tennessee, one with your Patriots. But there were also teams like the Chiefs and Bills interested, but not at the money D-Hop wanted.
And also never met with him.
Right. No, there's reported interest, but never had a meeting.
So was there actually interest? Or was it, if you want to come back to us and take the bare minimum, then we'll be interested. I just feel like that's misleading, right?
I mean, I would say that's interest, though.
It would be like, oh, I'm interested in going to a steakhouse tonight, but I only want to pay $10 for the dinner.
Well, I'm just saying, you could be interested in the receiver, but at your price, I would say it's still interest. There's plenty of other teams that said thanks, but no thanks, weren't interested at any price.
I'm interested in dating Beyonce, but she's married, so how interested can I actually? I could be interested, doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Well, that may be a tougher one there. That one, yeah, that's a tough one.
Well, what's tougher? Is that getting a date with Beyonce or an NFL running back getting an extension? 855-212-4CBS. It's a Saturday night huge show.
So Diop signing with Tennessee. Now he's 31 years old, has made five Pro Bowls, but has two playoff wins in his 10-year career. Onsides or offsides? DeAndre Hopkins should have taken less money to sign with a better team like the Chiefs or Bills.
Well, the Bills right now only have a little over $5 million in salary cap space available, and the Chiefs have under $600,000 of salary cap space available. So, Hickey, let me just throw this out there because I've seen you've been crushing DeAndre Hopkins for this. Don't get me wrong. I would love to see an athlete prioritize winning, but with how lethal of a sport this is, go make as much money as you can when a team is willing to sign you, and that's what DeAndre Hopkins did. But I'll just throw this analogy out there because to answer your question, DeAndre Hopkins should have taken less money to sign with a better team like the Chiefs or Bills. If it was somewhere in the right ballpark, sure, but it's nowhere close to being in the right ballpark. So I will say offside on this one.
Offside.
But let's just say, Hickey, you were making a king's ransom here. Now, let's say you were making $15 million a year. But let's say there was another network that does not exist. But let's just say in this case it does. That gave you a better chance to go win. But you're making $10 to $15 million. And then they wanted you to make $2 million to go work for them. But you'd be in a better winning situation. Would you rather go be in the better winning situation? Or would you rather get the more money from another company?
I want to win. Be in the winning business.
So you would rather...
For 1 year, yes. But now, I'm not saying for the rest of his career. If he goes to Kansas City or Buffalo, it's going to be in a one-year deal, vet minimum. It's going to be very little money. But he balls out in Buffalo and or Kansas City, wins a ring, nice season. He's getting paid. I think he's getting paid a lot more than $26 million.
Man, he just got paid a lot right now. That could be worth up to 32. It's a pretty damn good deal for a guy.
Coming off a year where he has a PED suspension. I'm saying if he goes to Kansas City where they have a hole at receiver, he plays really well.
And what happens if he gets hurt? Then what happens next year? He's not getting paid a big fat contract.
Well, risk reward. He's made $111 million in his career.
You're telling me if a company offered you $12 million a year, but you weren't in this great ideal winning situation, you'd rather go to the company that would only offer you $2 million, but you could win more.
If I had $111 million in the bank, absolutely.
So I think that's the difference between a fan mentality and a player mentality. I don't fault DeAndre Hopkins for what he did. Next question.
All right, let's stick with Hopkins.
I'll call cap on that, as the kids would say on you. You're taking all the money that you could get, Hickey.
I'm a winner.
You'd be bathing in the dough.
I would not be.
A winner? What are you talking about? You're for Penn State and the Colts and the Mets. What winning do you do?
Exactly right. I want a winner. I want to win. I want success, not be ripping my hair out every single day I wake up because my teams stink. That might be Hopkins this year because the Titans maybe could be bad, or... Now that they got Hopkins, are they potentially bursting in the AFC playoff picture? Now, despite drafting quarterbacks each of the last 2 years, Ryan Tannehill does seem to be the starter for Tennessee in 2023. Derrick Henry does return after rushing for over 1,500 yards and 13 touchdowns in 2022. Now, it wasn't all bad last year for Tennessee. They did start the season 7-3 before losing seven straight and missing the playoffs. Onsides or offsides, the Titans are a playoff team after adding DeAndre Hopkins.
Offside. They're going to be a tough team. They're going to be a gritty team. But the AFC is just so loaded where if they don't win their division, I think they have a tough time stealing one of those wild card spots. And I like the Jaguars over Tennessee in that division by a nice margin.
And finally, speaking of winning, let's go to a guy who's focused on winning a championship and nothing else. That is Joel Embiid. He last week was speaking at the Uninterrupted Sports Film Festival. And he talked about winning a ring and didn't care where it came from, whether Philly or elsewhere. Take a listen.
Just want to win a championship. Whatever it takes. I don't know where that's going to be, whether it's in Philly or anywhere else. I just want to have a chance.
Just wants a chance, whether it's Philly or another team. Onsides or offsides, this upcoming season will be Joel Embiid's last in a Sixers uniform.
It's a great question. Here's what I'll say, Hickey. I think he requests a trade after this season, but that doesn't mean that he's actually going to get traded. I do think, though, he'll request a trade. Remember, he has a player option after the 2026 season, and James Harden now, this relationship with Daryl Morey is reportedly fractured, which is just ridiculous on James Harden's part. I do think Harden will be there, but we've now seen a growing trend in the NBA where just because a player wants out doesn't mean that the team automatically moves them right away, but they eventually do get dealt. I could see Embiid getting traded this offseason, but I think it will bleed over into the season after this one just a little bit. But I do think bare minimum he'll request a trade. So I know I'm answering both kind of here, but technically I think he'll be on the roster game one after this season. So I will go offside when you say this upcoming season will be Joel Embiid's last in a Sixers uniform.
Offside!
But not that far away. And how about that, Hickey? Embiid finally talking about going somewhere else after being speculated for a while that eventually he'll be driven out of town, not only because of the Sixers' incompetence. Like, he has to take some of the chin as well with the way that he played, but it does get overshadowed when you look at drafting a Markelle Fultz, drafting a Ben Simmons, and Ben Simmons not panning out, and still not being able to find that second guy to pair with him to go put them in a great position to go win a championship.
Like, it's hard to fault the Sixers because, like you said, they've tried. Now, it's been a lot of blind misses or blind swings, thinking it's going to work out more than it hasn't, but it's also... Look, Embiid has chances as well to play. Like, yes, Philly's not giving him the best opportunity to win. It's also on him, though, to play better and be healthy, which he has not done both, especially this last series against Boston. Chance to win in your home court, he was a total zero.
And I've talked about this for years, how in the playoffs, he's had some shortcomings in some big moments that got overshadowed because of other people's poor play. But this year with what Harden did, I know Harden shut down after, what was it, game four? But... Joel Embiid at home in game six in the fourth quarter was a no-show, and then it was a complete no-show in that game seven when I won some good money on that game because I hammered the Celtics on the spread, especially in game when I saw what Jason Tatum was doing at halftime and it was close, and I said, yeah, I'll take the Celtics minus 6.5 and won a lot of dinero. So there you go. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We will take a break. When we come on back, we will get more into the state of the running back position in
the National Football League.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
All right, it is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So a lot going on in the running back game. Austin Ekeler got some incentives in his contract going back a little while ago. Was seeking a long-term deal this offseason, didn't get it. He joined us earlier. You have Joe Mixon, who took a pay cut to stay with the Cincinnati Bengals and basically had his salary slashed in half. Dalvin Cook got outright released. And you have Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, and Tony Pollard, who all got offered franchise tags. Tony Pollard's the only one that took it so far. Eventually, Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs will, but neither of those three running backs ended up getting a long-term deal. Today was the deadline for players on the franchise tag that was offered a franchise tag to reach a long-term deal. So we're now in a point with NFL running backs where guys are getting drafted, for the most part, going through the rookie deal. If they do get an extension, they don't see the end of the extension. And most of the times now, they don't even get that extension. And teams try to go this franchise tag route. And for a lot of times, the running backs, you don't see these 10-year careers anymore. Or you don't see these running backs get through two contracts. So now running backs are going to get programmed to get your money when you can because you never know if you're going to get a second deal. And look at the year that Saquon Barkley just had. I know he's had injury concerns in the past. I know Josh Jacobs hasn't been as great as what we've seen this year, but he's made the Pro Bowl twice in his career, and he didn't get a long-term deal. And the running back position, even though you don't need a bell cow back to win in this league, and we've seen most of the Super Bowl champions be running back by committees, this running back position is now getting undervalued where teams think a lot of times it could be plug and play. And Hickey, I can't crush the teams for it. Like, do I think Saquon should have got a long-term deal today? Yes. Do I think Josh Jacobs should have got a long-term deal today? Yes. But I can't crush the teams because the rest of the league isn't doing it. And a lot of times we've seen now that you don't need this bell cow back, and it's more so running back by committee. When you look at teams like Tampa Bay, the Patriots, the Eagles that have won Super Bowls in this league, Kansas City, that they don't put a, I don't want to say they don't put a high premium value in terms of running the ball because all those teams have to run the ball, but they don't believe in paying running backs big time money.
Obviously, each individual case is different, but on the on the whole, teams have been right. That's part of the issue for their running backs is that overall, certain guys stick out and there are exceptions to every rule. But for the most part, not paying running backs, especially when you're paying these quarterbacks exorbitant salaries, has worked, has led to more winning, has allowed to get more wide receivers or allow you to get that quarterback easier It's unfortunate, it's sad, but that's where the game is moving, and that's why you're seeing every positional salary go up, except for literally only one.
And here's the thing. You look at Saquon Barkley, I thought they should have paid him today. You look at Josh Jacobs, I thought they should have paid him as well. And here's why both situations, they could get very polarizing, and you could see both sides of the argument. But if you're the Raiders, and you have a new regime there that many people don't believe in, after 1 year with David Ziegler and Josh McDaniels, you just got rid of Darren Waller. I know he's been banged up, but you didn't get really much back in return. Derek Carr out, which I'm fine with, but then you bring in Jimmy Garoppolo. That's not an upgrade. So if I was the Raiders, your best, one, I don't want to say your best offensive player. Maybe statistically it was Josh Jacobs last year, but I still think that's viewed as Davante Adams. If you want to keep your locker room happy, shouldn't you have just found a way to get this deal done with Josh Jacobs? Because most likely, this is going to be an ugly year for the Raiders. And if you could keep that locker room happy, maybe that's a reason why Josh McDaniels and David Ziegler end up getting one more opportunity after this season.
I actually think the Raiders did the right thing in not signing Josh Jacobs just because they themselves don't even know what direction they're going in. And so if you have no idea if you're a competitor or if you're a contender, I should say, or if you're maybe going to rebuild, I don't think right now when you're in flux, paying a running back is the right move. Play it easy, but it's like, where are they going?
But doesn't this year go either two ways? The Raiders are better than what people think, or this year is an absolute disaster for the Raiders, and then they're high in the draft next year trying to take a quarterback. If you're going to bring in one of these young quarterbacks, whether it's a Caleb Williams or a Drake May or whoever else emerges, wouldn't you want Josh Jacobs on board in addition to Davante Adams? And if Josh Jacobs walks at the end of this year, I can't see Davante Adams really sticking around that much longer.
I hate to say it, but even if that plan works out the way you say it, is Jacobs even going to be that good of a player in, let's say, 3 years from now when the Raiders are going to try to contend? I would probably say no. So that's a situation where right now if they were contending, like the Giants are going for it, I think they should have paid Saquon. For the Raiders, you have Davante Adams.
Are the Giants really going for it, though? Like, I look at the Giants. Don't get me wrong. They were better than what anyone could have expected last year. Does anyone expect the Giants to be a championship-contending team? I don't think they're close to being a championship-contending team. They now have a legit head coach and a GM that people respect when you look at Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, but there's still major questions even though they paid Daniel Jones. And, you know, wide receiving, that's got to be better than what it was last year. You got some young names that you've drafted recently, but the Giants are still very far away. I don't think they're going for it this year. Wouldn't surprise me the Giants regressed this year, if we're being honest.
Well, I don't think they're anywhere near a Super Bowl contender. I'm saying, like, you paid Daniel Jones, like, you are now saying, like, we believe in this guy enough, and if you're going to believe in Daniel Jones, and he's still young, one of the ways you have to help his development is by giving him talented players around him. And you just mentioned there's no wide receiver right now that's really good in general. Like, it's a healthy. Darren Waller was traded to the Giants in part because the Raiders didn't trust his health to be on the field.
And he's really good when healthy.
He is, but again, that tag, when healthy, has been a problem the last 2 years. So you quickly look around that Giants offense, and there is nothing. You can't pay Daniel Jones and then all of a sudden give him crap and say, go perform. Even if like in 3 years from now, they have a better team and they're truly going for it and maybe on the short list of three or four NFC teams that's a legitimate Super Bowl contender, even if Barkley at that point is not in his prime or even not on the team, you'd like to at least think his contributions now will help Daniel Jones become a better quarterback. By that point, when you're ready to compete in 3 or 4 years, he'll be better off than where he's now if you just get rid of him and he's got no one to throw the ball to.
If I just threw it out there and say that it's similar, I think a lot of people would disagree. But to what you're saying, this is where it's similar. Like last year, I don't think anyone thought Kyler Murray should have got an extension. But once Steve Keim and Cliff Kingsbury got extended, it was almost, you paid those two guys, so then now you have to go extend the quarterback. That's where it's similar. And if you go invest in Daniel Jones, you should make sure at least for the next 3 years, or even two, right, if you front load it, that the Giants' best offensive weapon is there to help out the young quarterback in Daniel Jones.
But that's another thing. You want to pay a running back. Most of the running back salaries are guaranteed for 2 or 3 years anyway. And by the time that, you know, the wheels fall off or they're not at their peak, you can cut them for basically free. That's what the Vikings just did. So that's another thing that I don't really understand in terms of like running backs and not wanting to pay them. A lot of the contracts you can give them now, by the time they start to really kind of hit a
wall, easy to get out.
You can get off them very easily and almost with no harm whatsoever. So it almost is a more of a negative by not paying certain guys and letting them go compared to now giving them a big-time deal, because you can move off them very easily.
Let me just go around the room here. I know you have not seen this tweet, Hickey, so let me bring Ack into the conversation. Did you see a tweet today from Adam Schefter when it said who the last running back was to get an extension? Okay, so I will keep Ack out of this because Ack doesn't miss anything. That's why I wanted to ask Ack. Actually, I probably should have just asked Ack the question and made him look like he's the smartest person in the room, because probably he is the smartest person in the room.
Not really.
But, Hickey, take a guess here. So no long-term deal for Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, and Tony Pollard, right? Schefter says that. The last time a running back signed a long-term deal, it was worth $10 million or more a year. I won't say who that running back is, but how many days ago do you think that was?
Was it a Christian McCaffrey?
No.
I guess, was it longer than, like, before Christian McCaffrey?
I unintentionally said his name earlier in the segment because my name, because his name was on my mind because of the tweet.
I don't know. You got me.
Now, you know what? I think you, because the McCaffrey extension was signed in 2020. So this was after 2020. This was in 2021. Yep. You want to guess how many days ago? Just throw a number out there.
1,000.
No. 716 days ago was the last time we've seen a running back receive a long-term extension. Isn't that crazy? 716 days. Not one. But to get back to what we've been talking about, Josh Jacobs and Saquon Barkley, what are you going to do? The franchise tag is $10 million a year. So if you want to sit out one game just to make a point, what point are you really making? You'll bring more attention to it, but I don't think it's going to make owners really change. And also, did you see the Le'Veon Bell video over the weekend where he wanted to apologize to Steeler fans? You want to sit out an entire year? Now, I know it's not long-term security, but you're still getting $10 million a year. They'll not come to training camp, and I get that. But come week one, I don't really think it's worth it for Saquon Barkley or Josh Jacobs to sit out. I think you got to eventually sign and then get all your money from that you can while you can get on that franchise tag, Hickey.
I'm with you 100%. It does, even though Le'Veon Bell got the contract he wanted, he fell off very quickly. I don't think it really benefits you a lot to kind of sit out and get out of game shape. And I believe it just rolls. Doesn't it just roll over? I believe the franchise tag. So if you don't want to sign it this year, the Giants and the Raiders can just slap it on you next year.
Yeah.
And it's all for naught.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will come on back.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Hickey is back after his big bougie family get-together, where Hickey's father is one of 10, so I don't know how they fit all those Hickeys in that one area that you guys did go to. What was it, 10 condos that you guys ended up getting?
That's right.
That's crazy. What's Thanksgiving? How many people do you have over your house for Thanksgiving? Do you get all the Hickeys together for Thanksgiving? That's got to be crazy to feed all those mouths.
Christmas is Thanksgiving for the most part, but Christmas is the big one in our family. That's the one where everyone goes to usually one of my uncle's houses now because he has a big enough house. Christmas is always a good time.
It's not like one big table, right?
Oh, no. No one's sitting and eating together. No. So spread out.
You're stuck at the kiddies' table forever.
Well, I mean, there's 23 of us, so I've graduated from the little kids' table at this point, thankfully.
Wait, how is there only 23 of you?
Cousins-wise, in terms of, like, you know, you got the adults, and you got the adult table and the kid table, if you will. I guess I'll still take the kid table, in terms of that being a compliment.
But you eat like a child, so.
Young age, but, yeah, I think I am far removed from the kids' table at this point.
So does all of your, 9 siblings for your father, do they all have kids? All 9 of them?
8 out of 9. My one uncle is unmarried. Everyone else has at least one kid. At least 2 kids.
So everyone gets together for Christmas is what you're saying?
Yes, that's the big one.
So when you have the full roster, full capacity, girlfriends, boyfriends, whoever, that is there. How many, and like grandchildren, you know, regular children, how many Hickeys are there or family members are there?
Well, if you add girlfriends, you know, extra, I was going to say extracurricular.
Plus ones.
plus ones. I'm probably 50.
It's got to be more than that.
There there's, I mean, not everyone is dating, and there's still, like the age range is still pretty vast. So there's still kids in elementary school and high school, and even if they have boyfriends, they're not serious. Some are just totally single. Others are not.
So your grandparents are the Philip Rivers, the Antonio Cromarties of the world, whichever athlete you want to pick that has like 9,000 children. Did any of the 10 children like pop out like 8 or 9 kids as well?
My uncle has 5. That's the most. Ooh. But it's usually 3 or 2 has been the magic gotcha. Number for the most part.
You can think around the auto parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Can you do me a favor at your next big family function?
Sure, let's hear it.
Can you just stand up on the table and get a selfie of everybody?
Sure, we can try.
I want the hickey selfie of all the hickeys that are there. By the way, I gave 2 of your sports teams compliments when you were out. I actually talked positively about 2 of your sports teams.
Should I ask if it's a coincidence that when I'm not here, all of a sudden the nice words get talked about? And if it's the Mets, it doesn't count because you both root for the Mets, so that can't count as a compliment.
Unlike you,
I'm
not a sycophant for the Mets. I tell you how it is with the Mets. I told you their season's been over for months, and you tried to still tell me that the Phillies were better than the Mets, and I told you you were going to be wrong on that one, and here we are. You can admit the Mets season's over. No, but it's actually about Penn State football, and it's also about the Colts. For Penn State football, I talked about how easy their schedule is. They should be able to split Michigan and Ohio State this year. You may only have a one-loss season for Penn State is a point that I was making this year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, bare minimum. Yeah, 12-0, 11-1. Absolutely.
Well, you're not going to go undefeated.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're talking about you lose one game to Michigan and Ohio State, I don't think either team is head and shoulders better than Penn State. Should be at least competitive. You're in a competitive game. It's not crazy to say you can go 12-0.
And also, the reason why I brought this up is because someone that was filling in for you last week is also someone that is part of the Penn State cult. So that came up in conversation. And then I even said something nice about your football team. I said I'm intrigued to see Anthony Richardson this year because the Colts don't give you a lot of reasons to want to watch them this year. But Anthony Richardson, one of those guys that got the highest ceiling label. And you know me, I'm not a big fan of the highest ceiling label because it means that you have all the tools, but you haven't done it yet. But with all the talk surrounding Anthony Richardson, I'm really close to just, I don't want to say close, but I'm intrigued to just see your football team this year.
Are you kidding me?
Well, what's wrong with that?
That's what you would consider a compliment?
Hey, it's
I'm
progress.
Intrigued to see Anthony Richardson?
It's oh progress.
I'm intrigued to see the Patriots. That doesn't mean I'm rooting for them
Time
or
out.
I like them. Well, that's a compliment. That's literally a statement of fact. I am intrigued to see Anthony Richardson.
Well, not everyone's intrigued. Most people aren't intrigued to see the Colts.
I would say Anthony Richardson is an intriguing player.
Put it this way. I can't stand, outside of your athletic director, Penn State football. I don't like James Franklin. I think he's a bad in-game coach. He's a great recruiter. And I can't stand your defensive coordinator, even though he's done a good job as defensive coordinator, Manny Diaz. I'm fair. And then when it comes to your actual NFL team, I hate them. They're my least favorite team in the league. So it's a big step for me to say I'm at least intrigued to see what Anthony Richardson is. That's better than all the other stuff I say about them.
I don't like the Patriots. I can easily tell you I am intrigued to see how this season goes, and I'm intrigued to see the reaction.
But hold on.
To Bill Belichick.
You being intrigued is because you think they're going to be a disaster this year. So you're intrigued in a twisted way. I don't know what Anthony Richardson's going to be. I'm genuinely, in an innocent way, intrigued with me not saying, oh, I hope it's going to be a
but
disaster.
But that's not a compliment.
There's a difference.
That does not count as a compliment. If you want to say, I think Anthony Richardson will win, that's not even a compliment either. It's a prediction. If you want to say, I said something nice about your team, I think Anthony Richardson will win Rookie of the Year, that's a compliment. That's in the compliment ballpark.
You know what?
I'm interested in seeing the Colts is not a compliment.
You and McKeon are the same person. And I said this to McKeon on Friday. You give a mouse a cookie, he wants a glass of milk. Just take what I'm giving you. I'm giving you a cookie here. Don't say you need a glass of milk to dunk the cookie in now. That's all you're getting from me. I'm not going to be put in a corner where I'm going to have to say really overly nice things about either of your football teams.
I'm not asking you to. I'm not sitting here begging. Jack,
you beg
please,
every day.
Please, one compliment towards Penn State.
You do every day.
Say one nice thing about the Colts.
You give me mean looks in the newsroom.
Oh, please. But come, the shirt, Anthony Richardson shirt, is very nice. Thank you. It's very soft.
Yeah, I got you a t-shirt.
That is.
And you haven't worn it yet.
Bigger,
you're wearing a Roy Lyons shirt. Where's the t-shirt that I got you?
It's in my drawer. I haven't been here. I think the last day I saw you was literally the day you gave me the gift.
No photo on vacation wearing the nice Anthony Richardson t-shirt?
At the beach. Black t-shirt on the beach is not going to do very well in the sun.
I think it's gray. I don't think it's black.
Oh, it's black.
I don't think so. I bought it. I'm pretty sure the shirt is gray. Maybe you're colorblind. Or maybe you just had too many tequilas on this vacation that you're on. You don't even remember what color it was.
Maybe it was my blue lights messing with me. Changing the colors now.
Hey, we get any shower no cap today, by the way?
No, not today.
None?
I was busy catching up. A lot of emails that I...
Oh, a lot of emails
I had to
what
dig
What emails
through.
Were you sending? You did
We're
nothing
not sending,
last
but
week.
I'm sending. Got to go through and make sure I'm not missing anything.
Oh, please. Please. Weak sauce.
Busy. Doing nothing.
What, you go to the grocery store today?
Yesterday. Yeah. Total mobs.
So you had nothing to
grocery
do today.
Grocery store on a Sunday. Nightmare. Had to go to the gym. Sweat out the toxins.
Please. Your career, the gym. One, career, gym, two. Get it right. Contender or pretender. Next.